Namaskara. Machu Madar India Dali. Ricard Madalada Podcastna Eradu Sanki Kegaliri Ne Sanki Gege Svagata. My apologies for getting that nowhere near correct, but that's supposed to be. Hello, and welcome to the second of two episodes of the podcast, recorded in Mother India. My apologies for getting that almost certainly nowhere near correct, but it's polite to have a go when you're visiting a country, right? You're going to try and speak a little bit of one of the local languages. That was Kannada, by the way, which is one of the major languages spoken in Karnataka, which is where Bengaluru is, in Mother India. Okay, if you missed the last show, then here's a recap for you. I'm in India to find out about TVS Motor, almost certainly the largest bike manufacturer you've never heard of. They are a huge Indian industrial concern who manufacture motorbikes on a truly huge scale for markets all around the world. Well, recently TVS bought British bike brand Norton. They've invested heavily in a factory in Solihull in the UK where a new range of bikes are about to be launched. In the last episode, I visited TVS's factory here in Bengaluru to get a vision of their technology, their standards and their scale. But what are TVS bikes like to ride? Here's my answer. Well, there's only one way to find out. This next bit was recorded after my first experience of riding a motorbike for a very long time. Oh man, I wish you could see me right now. I'm melting, I'm out of breath, and I'm utterly, utterly elated. I'm actually shaking. I have to admit, I was shaking before I got on the bike. I've just done five laps of a 1.2-kilometre karting outdoor circuit in 34-degree heat here in Bengaluru on a bike called a TVS Ronin, which is a kind of, I wouldn't say it was a cruiser, almost like a classic modern retro bike. And I haven't ridden a motorbike for 25 years. This is only the second time in my life I've ever ridden a bike on a race circuit. And the first time I did was on my own bike at Brands Hatch. I got to the first corner and went into the gravel trap with my mate Eddie McDonald from The Alarm, who followed me in. But you live and learn. So my policy for this trip was to return home in one piece. And so far, after my first five laps on the bike and then a second session of two laps following a pickup with two photographers, videographers you might say, in the back of a Toyota Hilux pickup, and every time we got round the corner they weren't strapped in, they were sliding all over the place, and I think they were struggling to get shots of me. I was very ginger, I was very careful on the first lap, but I'm afraid by the second lap I was scraping the footrests on the corners. I thought, oh no, I don't want to do that because that'll swing the back end from under me and I'll be off in the gravel. But mercifully, I'm wearing a full race suit and helmet, which was provided for me by TVS Racing, because TVS do a lot of racing, as we found out in the briefing yesterday. They race at many, many levels, including the Dakar, which is very interesting, although the bike that they took to the Dakar wasn't designed and built by them. It was built by a Spanish specialist, but TVS ran the team, prepped the bike. Now, I'm interested in that because, you know, I love the Dakar, and I'd very much like to go out there. So maybe if TVS are racing at the Dakar in the future, I can go along to that. But, man, I had two sessions booked for this morning on the Ronin. Great name for a bike, by the way. Gorgeous looking thing. But one session on that will do for me. It's going to take me about an hour to stop shaking and about 2 hours to get my temperature down to safe operational levels. I mean, I'm a 64-year-old smoker, right? So I'm not the fittest guy here. Some of the guys here, professional motorcycle journalists, they were really ragging it. I let them lap me and go past me. I'm not here to race. I'm here to go home in one piece. My hands are still shaking. I'm elated. But the interesting thing is, despite wearing a full face helmet, I come off and all the TVS people come over going, "You're having the best time. We can see your smile, even through the helmet." I know I've got a big smile. And actually, somebody said to me, "Do you know what? When you were younger on How To," Toad said this, one of the motorcycle journalists, "when you were on How To, you looked very much like Valentino Rossi." It's true. People have said that before. If there's a motorcycle racer who I do look like, it is Rossi. I don't have his skills, but we do have very similar smiles and very similar eyes, I think. Our eyes smile. That's what people tell me. Your eyes smile when you smile. And no wonder I'm smiling after such a long gap on motorcycles. It was an utter thrill to be wearing a race suit, a leather motorcycle race suit, for the first time in my life, and to get off on this dusty, tricky circuit without having, you know, let alone broken a bone, even pulled a tendon or twisted a muscle in my neck or something, or made a terrible mistake. I did make two mistakes wearing these race boots with the extra Kevlar toe protection. I did accidentally change gears with my left foot a couple of times. In terms of speed, I thought I was absolutely flying, because I looked at the speedo on the end of the start-finish straight when I got to the first corner, and it said 80. I thought, my God, I'm flying on this bike. Then I realised it's kilometres per hour. So I was doing 50, is that right? 80 is 50 miles per hour? Yeah, 50 miles per hour. So I think that was probably the top speed I did. Some of the corners, there's a lovely sweeping section here, which I was really looking forward to. And then when I went out on the final two laps with the camera vehicle in front of me, I let him get away from me a bit and then raced up to him to make it look like I was going a bit quicker than I was, because the Hilux was going very, very slow compared to my speed on the circuit. And I understand why. A, it's a car. B, it's a kart circuit. C, it's a pickup. D, it's got two blokes swinging around trying to hold on and hold on to cameras on the back. So yeah, they couldn't go fast, and I went about as fast as I will ever go on a motorbike. Man, I'm shaking. I need another hour or two to stop shaking and get my temperature down, and then I think I get to ride one of the Apaches. Apache is their sort of cafe racer that they've got here. So I'm going to go and find one of the big players here at TVS, and he can tell me all about the spec of these bikes. But hey, here's one final thought from these bikes. Man, I know I haven't ridden a bike for a long time, but bikes have come a long way in the 25 years since I rode one. And the braking is good, the tyres are exceptional, the stability, the build quality of this TVS. I know these are fresh out of the factory, and they've probably been ultra-fettled, because journalists, right, that's what they do. If you're going to put journalists on bikes, you make sure that they're prepped properly, because most of the guys here, you know, they'll be able to spot subtleties. Me, all I can spot is whether A, the bike works, C, whether I can survive it, D, if it's rideable, and L, what happened to the other letters, survivable. Thank you, TVS. That was a treat. And relax. Simon, or Toad, perhaps.
Toad.
You're a proper motorcycle journalist, unlike me, who's just a wannabe.
I don't know about that. I feel like I'm just getting away with it. I've been getting away with it for the last 10 years, so...
Getting away with it all my life, as we say. Yeah. What are your impressions of TVS bikes? And do you know much about TVS before we came here?
I've done a TVS launch before. We did a very similar event just on the Apache 310 RTR in Thailand, and it was a similar vibe, basically. It was very hot. We got a handful of laps, and then that was it.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bikes generally are good. But what will catch out UK riders when TVS bring these bikes to the UK is you put them up against some of the European bikes in this sort of segment. KTM RC 390. You know, there are other super sports bikes that we already get that are a bit more focused, a bit more actually sporty in terms of the suspension setting, the riding position, the brakes, etc. And these are very soft. So they're kind of like sports bikes for the track looking, but underneath is a commuter bike with very soft suspension.
These are probably set up for Indian roads. Yep. In the UK version, yep, they'd stiffen it up significantly, I would imagine.
Yeah, I'm hopeful that they'll make some adjustments to them. The biggest problem that you'll find in the UK is these bikes have got like ridiculously low, short first and second gears. So it's like they could do with adjusting that slightly. The riding position on it, I've got to give the RRs a compliment in that the riding position is so relaxed and comfortable that you feel like you could get on it and just ride it all day for literally hundreds and hundreds of miles and get off it and feel absolutely fine. That's not something you can say about a sports bike very often.
No.
All of those traits make it difficult to ride on track because the pegs are just scraping on every corner and, you know, the handlebars, it feels like you're riding a chopper almost.
Hey, I was scraping on my second lap on the Ronin, right, probably because it's...
Yeah, but that's because you're mental.
That is true. That is true. A 1.2 kilometre circuit with how many, 11 corners or something here?
12, yeah, something like that. It's just really slippy out there.
Yeah.
Go-kart tracks are always, like, polished, the surface. And they had some rain, so the rain's pulled loads of mud and dust. And you get on that, and it's like riding on marbles.
And there's sand on a couple of oily parts of the circuit as well, which I was being very circumspect about.
Yeah. But not ideal. But to be honest with you, whenever we come to these kind of events, we always like, oh, God, why isn't it doing? But we're so used to going to a Ducati launch where they'll take you to Jerez.
Right.
Or a Honda launch and they'll take you to Qatar. And you go into proper GP spec circuits.
Yeah.
And in India, they've got the Budd International Circuit, but it's quite expensive to rent for a bike like this. So we come to kart tracks.
Yeah.
Just a different vibe.
Well, it suits me. Quite frankly, I'm very happy doing 50 miles per hour around a circuit like this, and I would be doing 120 miles per hour around a proper race circuit, ended up in the gravel at every corner. My ambition is to go home with the same number of elbows I had when I arrived
here. That's generally on everybody's wish list, is to go home in one piece.
Have you ridden only the Apache, which one, the RT, or did you say?
I'm sticking on the sports bike, the RR, because I've already ridden the 310 RTR in Thailand.
RTR, right.
So really, we've got a review of that already on visordown.com, so it's getting a bit of a first impressions review on the RR before it comes to the UK.
Well, I'll be looking at visordown.com to see what you think of everything officially.
Cool. Thank you. Pleasure, mate.
Nice to meet you, fella. Cheers, right. Toad.
Cheers, mate.
Gareth Jones on speed! As I mentioned in the last episode, TVS design and build some of their bikes in partnership with BMW Motorrad. In fact, the model known as the TVS Apache 310 RR is also sold as a BMW GS 310 RR, a proper starter sports bike. I asked Vimal Sumbli, head of business premium at TVS Motor, to tell me more about the three bikes we were riding today, the TVS Ronin, the TVS Apache RTR, and the TVS Apache 310 RR. Vimal, we're standing next to the TVS Ronin, a bike which I knew nothing about before I came. In fact, I knew nothing about TVS before I came to India. Tell me about this bike.
Yeah, it's a beautiful motorcycle, as you can see, you know, right from the way you ride this motorcycle. This is the first modern retro we introduced in India a couple of years back. And this is the motorcycle which is built on a 225cc single cylinder.
225, yeah. Right, okay.
And it produces the power of 20.4 PS, which is almost equivalent to what a 350cc churns in this segment.
Right.
So what we wanted to do is to redefine the segment and get more youngsters to ride this motorcycle, which is very easy riding, which is fun riding, where the consumers go for a very long distance, it's a very comfortable riding position. So if you look at it as this rear shocks, if you look at the front suspension, the riding position is very, very easy. fun riding. Then we built technology into it. It has got a very nice speedometer. It has the riding modes.
Yeah, tell me about the riding modes. I saw two. There's a rain and an urban mode.
Yes.
What do they do?
So it's all engine control. So if you get to the rain mode, and typically, you know, nowadays rains come anytime. Typically, you know, in UK, you carry your umbrella, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When you ride a Ronin, you carry your ride mode. So, so in a rain mode, your braking is much more comfortable when you brake and you don't skid. So the bike is able to understand that you're in rain mode. So the friction with the road will be very less. When you're in urban, when because you want to shift the gears very frequently, you want to do shorter turns, shorter maneuvering, then the urban is the best mode to get into.
So for being on the circuit, I should be in urban mode, really?
Yes, you should. You
really I think should I was. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you'll enjoy it. And this is one bike I would say you want to run, ride more and more and more. You're not tired with these bikes because the rev angle, so the rev of it is pretty uniform. And you really enjoy the pure fun of motorcycling.
It was, for someone who hasn't ridden a bike for 25 years, it was a very friendly, very forgiving bike with plenty of performance. But, you know, there was enough grip and power there for someone like me. Not a sports bike. Come and talk to me about your Apaches now, because I think I'm going to ride one of those next.
Yeah, so Ronin fits into our modern retro categories. And Apache, you know, as an Apache is a 20-year-old motorcycle brand from TVS Motor Company. We have more than 6 million consumers for it. Globally, we sell in more than 75 countries, including Latin Americas, including Italy, including Southeast Asia, and of course in India.
Coming to the UK?
And it would surely be expanding into the other markets globally. And this beautiful motorcycle which you're seeing is Apache RTR 310. It's built on a 310cc platform on a single cylinder. And what you see in this bike is a lot of fun to ride because it's for those people who are looking for street riding. They want that very immediate grunt,
yeah,
initial feel. And they're typically college students, the guy who wants to go from one point to another point very quick. And it's a
and to impress his friends because he looks like he's on a MotoGP bike.
Absolutely. I was just cracked it. So that is the whole objective. As I said yesterday also to you, Apache is built on design, performance and technology. And that's what people love about this motorcycle. And this motorcycle comes with loads of technology. We have introduced RTDSE, which is Race Tuned Dynamic Stability Control. It's got a six-directional IMU into it.
A six-directional what?
IMU.
IMU, okay. Inertial something unit.
Yeah. So this helps
inertial mass, is it? Is that what it is?
Yeah. So it helps you to ensure that when you're going down the slope, when you're going down the slope in a very high speed, right, your bike tends to have a stoppy, right, if you brake.
Yeah.
But it'll ensure that your bike doesn't do stoppy.
Right.
And when you're doing a cornering, and the ABS cornering is in this. So it controls when you're doing a cornering, it also controls that you don't have a more lean, right, in six directions, whether it is going down the hill, going up the hill, doing a cornering, and it's really built as a very beautiful, safe machine there.
I was impressed at some of the technology TVS, I was told, have on their bikes yesterday. I had no idea that you could get cruise control on bikes.
Yeah, there's a cruise control because this is something which our young motorcyclists want. Because it's all about fun. You know, motorcycling is all about fun.
Indeed.
And that is what we do at TVS. We design motorcycles very seriously.
Yeah.
But what we want people to have a smile when they ride our motorcycles.
A smile as big as yours.
Absolutely. So I love motorcycles. I love to ride motorcycles. So these are very beautiful set of machines. And if you look at the technology in terms of the display panels and all, they're beautifully designed. So that whether you're in hot sun, whether you're in cold, whether you're night, you get good amount of directions. Then it has riding modes built into it. In terms of you to enjoy your motorcycles in a various riding positions, and it has got ABS, traction control, many things built up. And then we have another bike which is there, which is a Super Sports RR310. It is a motorcycle where we have introduced many things first. Let me show you, there's a transparent clutch here, which you generally see in bigger bikes.
Yeah, you can see the workings inside.
Yes, there is winglets, which you generally see in the Super Sports segment of the bike. This is the bike which comes with a keyless entry, where you don't need a key to get onto the bike. Then loads of power, loads of technology, and this is our super premium product within our portfolio as a TVS. 310cc currently is our largest cc format motorcycle. So I'm sure the consumer who wants to have a lazy, easy riding is Ronin. The guy who wants to have a street ride and really, really wants to have fun and is freestyler, for them is RTR 310. The guy who's serious, he wants the fastest lap time, he knows how to lean, he knows how to come out of the corner, he's about precision, and then the typical TVS Apache RR310s for them.
Well, and this one's probably way out of my league. The what do you call this? The RT?
Well, this is Apache RR310.
This one may be beyond my capacity, but I'm looking forward to having a go on that slightly lesser one.
To be honest, now the motorcycles which we make are fun to ride.
Yeah.
As you rightly said, you've been riding after a long time, right? But ideally, when you ride these motorcycles, how we design them is ergonomically very beautiful.
Uh-huh.
You become scared of the motorcycle when they're intimidating, right?
Yeah, I was not intimidated by the bike. That is very true. I'm slightly intimidated by this one.
This is about your lean position, so just take it as a normal bike and ride and feel a little bit of grunt what we produce in these small, beautiful motorcycles.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank very you. Much indeed. It was time for me to get out on the circuit and test some more TVS bikes. But I should warn you that this next section was recorded not just immediately after I'd been riding a bike energetically around a circuit, but prior to that, I had eaten 7 or 8 curries in 48 hours. Hallelujah. I've just got off the TVS Apache RR310. A proper sports bike, really. I know it's only a single cylinder 4-stroke. It's not like a V-twin or anything like that. But in terms of performance, that was more than enough for me. I was speaking to an Australian journalist before I went out, and he was describing that type of bike. Hang on. Excuse me. He was describing that type of bike as quite tippy. And okay, right, I know what you mean. Yeah, you get to the first corner, you lean in, and then it tips. It's all over the front wheel. You know, you sit right over the front end, and it went round corners like it was on Velcro most of the time. Although I did get a tail end slide on 2 occasions exiting a couple of the corners here, and I thought, okay, I'm pushing a bit too hard here for a man of my skill set. But if you want to ride a bike at, you know, racing velocities or racing angles, there's no doubt that that Apache 310 RR is capable of that. Whether this man being in control of it is, I'm not entirely certain. I made loads of mistakes. I made a number of mistakes, got my gear changes wrong, went deep into one corner but managed to gather it all together before the exit, all those sort of things. And as you know, I've only ever ridden a bike on a circuit once before, and it wasn't anything like this sort of machine, which allows you to really push. In terms of speed, I got up to 110 kilometres per hour at the end of the start-finish straight before the first corner. And that's me absolutely redlining it, head down. It's a very short straight. Total length of this circuit is 1.2k, so I guess, gosh, what is that start-finish straight? I doubt if it's 200 metres or something like that. I don't think any of the bikes had transponders on them, so I won't get a record of my lap time. But what was really nice was all the TVS guys going, oh, you look very comfortable, you know, you seem like you know what you're doing. No, I did not know what I was doing, but I think the bike was very forgiving. Morning. Interesting what Toad said earlier on about these bikes being a bit soft for Europe. But no, I didn't detect that. I mean, if you're used to riding Kawasaki Ninjas or something like that, you know, a proper sports bike with real ultra performance, then something like this will feel a bit average, you might say. But it certainly wasn't average in my experience. And if you're making a journey through motorbikes, you know, you could stop at something with that level of performance and be very happy. If you're a 64-year-old bloke or you're a 20-something-year-old, I don't know. But, man, I need to lie down now. The fear I have is that I may never, ever be cool again. My body temperature, my core temperature is absolutely skyrocketing. A lot of it from the fact that this is, what, 34 degrees out here today. Most of it is adrenaline, I would imagine, really. Just thrill and nervousness. And I'm going home with two elbows the same size as they were when I arrived, my kneecaps still attached, my collarbone not dislocated. I don't think I've bruised or damaged myself in any way, apart from when I took the race suit off. There was one moment where I'm trying to get it over my left shoulder, and I do have a slight problem with my left shoulder from swimming and sitting at a computer all day, and something went bing when I did that, but that's just a function of being an old guy. Hey, TVS make nice bikes. When they come to the UK, go and ride one if you want. If you want, I think you might enjoy it. They're certainly made by people who are passionate about bikes. India, I'm pretty sure, has more motorcyclists than motorists. And so bike culture is ingrained in people here. And that's a good basis to start making bikes. Oh, here's a factoid. We were shown a graphic yesterday at the briefing at TVS's headquarters, and it showed TVS as the fourth largest manufacturer of motorbikes in the world, as Jeremy Clarkson would say, in the world. They're behind Honda, who are number one, Hero, who are number three. I'm not sure who number two was, probably Suzuki or Yamaha. Didn't see Kawasaki on there. My relationship with bikes goes way back. Shall I tell you about this? I made a video for Kawasaki back in the 90s, how to pass the motorcycle test. And as a result of that, I got three Kawasaki bikes. And what was it called? KM125 was the first one, then a 650 Tengai, no, 650, KLR 650 was the second bike, then I got a 650 Tengai, my kind of bike. I always wanted something that was like a Dakar bike. I always believed that living in London, having a bike with lots of suspension travel was the right thing because of the state of London roads and potholes. But having moved to North Wales, slightly tempted by the idea of a sports bike now. My good neighbour, Paul, my lovely neighbour, Paul, in North Wales, he's got a Ninja, Kawasaki Ninja, and he goes out every day for a blast, a refreshing blast, and I'm wondering if I could perhaps acquire the loan of a motorcycle for a while and go out and join him. I'd like that. Living in North Wales, it's almost a tragedy that I don't have a motorbike, because, you know, motorcycles represent freedom, liberty, happiness in so many ways, and possibly the loss of your driving license, as road speeds in North Wales are limited to 20 miles per hour in the majority of it. But there are places where you can let go. I'd quite like to go and ride around the Mac Loop, or part of it anyway, which is not far from me in North Wales, and yeah, I think this trip may have opened up something in me, a desire to be a motorcyclist again. Yeah, I think I do want to ride bikes a lot. It came back. Muscle memory kicked in. When you first get on the bike, you go, oh, how does this work? Okay, clutch and gears on the left-hand side, brake on the right, foot brake on the right. Okay, how do I start it? Oh yeah, ignition, starter button. And then I put it in the right mode. I was in track mode in the RR, and yeah, it looked after me. It looked after me. Well done, TVS. Thank you. Now, a very large glass of water, or six. It was actually Norton who invited me over to India to meet the parents, you might say. And having ridden TVS's bikes, I can confidently say that they are fine machines. But one question remains. What about Norton? What's in store? When will we see their new range? Will they be V4 Superbikes or something else? Perhaps a rebadged TVS single cylinder? I doubt that, but you've got to ask. The man with all the answers, well, most of them, was there at the circuit with us. So let's hear from Rob Durant from Norton.
Well, Norton's been on quite a journey the last 5 years. TVS bought Norton in 2020. That then really established a whole baseline of essentially rebooting the brand.
Yeah.
So that included a new factory, which was completed in 2021, and really a sort of a long journey to get to where we are. So the new Nortons are around the corner, but not quite here yet.
Very often when a large concern takes over a well-known British brand, I'm thinking about Geely and Lotus at the moment, you know, manufacturing has moved from its heartland to where manufacturing is so much cheaper. But you're going to build the bikes in the UK? You are building the bikes in the UK.
Absolutely. You know, we invested in the plant in Solihull. It's been over £200 million invested so far in Norton, in the team, the infrastructure, and above all, the factory. So that investment is absolutely to have that as our global hub. It's where we will have the design, the development, all the expertise, and the production. So, yep, the new top Norton will be absolutely made at Solihull.
It's like Aston Martin or Rolls-Royce, you might argue, that its Britishness is at the heart of how you sell the brand. Is that going to be how it is going forward, or is it going to be more of an international bike?
Well, I think in terms of concepts, you know, Norton and what is Norton is a very British thing, and that absolutely is at the heart. So the team, you know, Norton is its own entity. We have all our decisions are made in Solihull with the executive team. We have the engineering, the R&D, all of that is based in Solihull. So that essence of what is Nortonness is absolutely going to be at the heart and where we're based in Solihull. In terms of global, of course, yeah, we'd like Norton of recent times has been just UK focused, but the new Nortons will be absolutely there to slowly kind of work as we build a network around the world. So yeah, we will be global.
A TVS helping engineer and develop any elements of the bike at all?
I think as part of TVS, the benefits of being part of any big automotive group, I think, are pretty well known. And the great thing with TVS is the network is growing of expertise within the group. So, for example, they've just acquired Engines Engineering in Italy, huge amount of experience and knowledge that they have. So that information flow really works in the most productive way. So yes, there are lots of things that Norton will benefit from being part of the group. So scale of purchasing, R&D, knowledge, expertise in certain areas. But equally, I think there's a lot of things that Norton can offer TVS.
Multi-cylinder experience, because all TVS's bikes are single-cylinder, aren't they?
Exactly. So you know, the idea of having four cylinders is new to TVS, whereas Norton, we're pretty experienced in that now. So absolutely, that knowledge flow will be there, not in a way to be essentially one element to force on another. It's the most productive way is to take the best of what the group has and each draws on what that is.
It will work both ways. There'll be benefits for both going forward. Will there be a sort of a cheaper Norton as well, or are you absolutely just going for the luxury brand element?
I think that there will be a range, because I think the element of Norton and what Nortonness isn't necessarily just a price point. So I think, you know, we'll lead with the top bike, and then yeah, we'll see, we'll find out more in terms of what the rest of the range will be.
I think that's the correct thing to do. Very often when a mark come out, sometimes they start with the small, I'm talking about cars essentially, they start with the smaller, cheaper one and then try and build on that. But if you want prestige, you have to start at the top and then make a cheaper version available. What sort of scale are you talking about? What sort of numbers are you predicting manufacturing in the UK?
I think you're quite right in terms of kind of where you start. And I think for us, we always wanted to start with the top bike. You know, it's Norton. You know, it's really important to kind of show where we see us and what that 21st century Norton embodies in terms of the actual physical bike. So yeah, that's the strategy, and we've been, I think, probably commercially, you could argue that the best is to do the other way. Uh-huh. But I think that's the commitment to doing what's right for Norton, and that is what's right. So it's great that we've had that support to do it the way that works for Norton. So I think, yeah, that's going to be the future, and then we'll go from there.
And the new bike is launched when?
Well, it all goes live at the EICMA show in Milan. So that's, at the moment, the big waypoint for us, which is 4th of November.
Very soon, then. We're living in exciting times if you're a bike man.
I think it's really exciting. I think, you know, generally two wheels, four wheels is seeing a lot of change, a lot of evolution. I think there's been probably an increased focus on two wheels because, you know, that certainly the element of where we are with Norton, maybe you don't get quite so much of it on four wheels anymore.
Right.
So more people are looking at two wheels for that kind of more traditional feel. And I think that's at the kind of core of what we want to try and do is the new Norton's, it's not going to be a top Trump's bike. It's not there to have, you know, the top stats. It will have everything you need, but our focus has been very much on making sure that feel, that engagement, that sort of very subjective feeling you get from your ride, that buzz, that's what the bike's there to do.
One final question. It's not going to be an EV. It's going to be an internal combustion engine bike, isn't it?
Absolutely. Everything we're looking at is internal combustion.
When the bike's launched, can I ride one?
You can. We would be very glad to have you along.
Thank you very much. I managed to survive today without crashing, despite 25 years not riding a bike. So I now feel confident, like, take my L-plates, take my stabilisers off, and I could manage a big Norton.
You passed your test, Gareth, though. That's it. Norton next.
Yeah, let's go. And that's it from India. That's it from TVS, that's it from Norton, that's it from Two Wheels on Gareth Jones on Speed for now. But if you enjoyed hearing this show report on motorbikes as opposed to four-wheeled vehicles for the very first time, drop me a line. You know how to do it. Information at the end of the programme. Let me know. Gareth Jones on Speed will be back in the UK, back in Wales, for the next episode, where we'll be looking at the latest developments in Formula One and the title battle. And I think we'll probably be looking at the fact that Elfyn Evans could yet be the world's first Welsh World Rally Champion. All that and more in 2 weeks, right here in your favourite long-running car and motorbike podcast, Gareth Jones on Speed. See you guys.
If you enjoyed this show, then please like, share and subscribe. For information on how to contact the show, see pictures, read song lyrics, follow us on social media, or to sponsor this podcast, go to garethjones.tv. Gareth Jones on Speed is made in Wales by Whiz Bang.
Gareth Jones on Speed!